Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, I hope everyone's doing well. It's Katie hosting tonight. We have a lot of callers on the line, and we have a lot going on, and I want to get callers on as soon as possible. But first I want Sarabelle to share. Hey Sarabelle.
Hi guys. Well, for me, I've just been seeing this number so much, and yeah, there's a lot going on in the spirit realm right now. We are most definitely out of here. We just are.
Yes, and do you want to share like what he's doing with you?
he's just pretty much preparing me to come home, like, you know, like, he's having us all do specific stuff, like, for me, he's been having me rest, and, well, yeah, that's pretty much what he's having me do.
Yeah, same here. Have you been seeing a lot of numbers and stuff still and everything?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I'm seeing this number, like, I'm seeing it all the time, and it's like, it means, I'm starting to think that it means, like, that there's a lot of activity in the spiritual realm. You know, like, the angels are about to take us up, like, we're about to be no more.
Yes. So, what do you think about, like, what do you think about the modern day churches right now? Like, I've been thinking about churches a lot because I've grown up going to church like my whole life since I was a little girl, and it was like, if you don't go to church on Sunday, like, you're not, you know, that's not good. And I know a lot of people are like that, like, they grew up going to church not necessarily even wanting to. And I didn't know, like, for you, Sarabelle, what do you think, like, about church now and stuff?
I honestly don't really have much hope for church right now. Like, either God's in the church or he's not. Like, either it's spirit-led or it's not. And I think so many of them aren't. But then there are some that are, but they just seem hard to come by. And to me, church is, like, as far as assembling under a building, it's kind of not necessary in my life right now. And it hasn't been for, like, a long time, but especially not now because, like, God deals with me personally, so I don't need to go and sit down and listen to a pastor read me the Bible that I can read myself. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to church, but it's just, like, for me, the church life, I don't really go into it, and I don't really buy it because it seems really fake. And like you said, a lot of people don't even want to be there. I'm like, well, Jesus is my everything, and I don't set foot in a church. So to me, it's like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Sadly, a lot of churches are like, sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's like, sadly, a lot of the churches seem to be just as fallen as the world is, so. You know, it's just a matter of putting God first. Like, if God's first in the church, then his spirit is moving in. If he's not, then people are, it's all about greed. It's all about, like, how much money can you get from the people there? Or it's all about who has the nicest clothes. And they just totally miss the point of God being number one in a lot of these churches. So I don't give church thought.
Wouldn't you agree though that, like, churches are they are suppressing the truth? And
yeah,
that's
for sure.
You know, what do you consider spirit led? Because, you know, some people think, oh yeah, like, I feel good when I go to church and I feel the spirit there, but it's like, I'm not hearing the truth. I'm not hearing the signs of the times and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that for a church to be spirit-led, you know, you're going to have evidence of that in there, like evidence of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm not saying that a church isn't a church if people aren't speaking in tongues all the time, but you're probably going to have people speaking in tongues and interpreting. You're going to probably have people getting healed, like, by the laying on of hands. You're going to have people prophesying, and the topic of Jesus' return is definitely going to be there. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to be always the prosperity gospel and stuff like what you see on Joel Osteen's channel, you know. It's going to be things that God is telling his people now, you know. It's going to be, like, directly from God type stuff, you know.
Yeah, so you would agree that it's almost wrong to just listen to a person. I mean, I believe preachers can be led by God to be a preacher, but don't you believe it's a very fine line you have to walk, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I just all of a sudden thought to talk about church, but, you know, church was a big thing for me. Was it for you? Wasn't it? Didn't you grow up in church?
Yeah, I did grow up in church, and the funny thing is, like, God worked on me outside of church. Like, when I sat down in church, like, never did I get such a big influence and change in me with God until I was, like, physically outside of the church. Like, the breakthroughs happened physically outside of the church. And going to church, like, I don't think that simply going to church and sitting there for however long really did anything. So it's almost like God would have had his way with me whether I went to church or not.
I agree with that. So would you say that, like, what do you think, like, churches, like, right now could do differently? Like, or do you think they're going to change? You think it's just going to get worse?
Well, they have very little time to get worse because, like, I'm telling you, we're out of here. And when we're out of here, all stuff is going to hit the fan. I'll just say it like that. To say it cleanly.
Exactly.
They don't have much time to get worse, but as long as we're here on this planet, everything is going to constantly get worse. And then when we're gone, it's just going to be like a giant hammer just destroyed this nation, you know. Because, like, us being here is the reason that it's held back. So I honestly think, like, what church could do, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if it's going to actually repair. And I feel like the church is just, it just kind of is how it is right now. And it's, you know, it's really sad. You know, like, how the Bible talks about, what is it, like, dead men's bones on the inside, you know? It's kind of like that. It's like the church is like a cube full of dead men's bones, you know? Because, like, for churches that aren't spirit-led, it's like they're just kind of dead, like zombies. They just go to church mechanically, like, repeat the same stuff over and over. No one gets, like, any growth. Like, you know what I mean?
The church is getting too far from the Bible. They're getting these little pamphlets, and they're reading out of that, and that's basically their Sunday school lesson, you know? And it's like, why don't you preach from the Bible? Like, I remember I stopped going to Sunday school because my Sunday school classes were huge. I had about, like, 30, 40, 50 people in my Sunday school class. And, like, we would break up into smaller groups, but it was, like, so impersonal because, you know, we'd go around the circles. It was almost like a social gathering. It wasn't learning about God, and it was all about everyone's opinions, but it wasn't God's word. And
right.
It just, we got further and further and further away. And so I started going to my parents' Sunday school class, and they were the only class that read from the Bible. And, you know, it's just sad. And actually, the guy that was actually teaching straight from the Bible and not a pamphlet or whatever they're trying to do ended up leaving the church. So literally my church, nobody is reading straight from the Bible. It's all a little pamphlet.
I wonder why.
Just,
maybe he stopped and he just said, maybe that's exactly why he left, is because he saw that it wasn't about God.
No, you're right. My family and this other couple were the only people left, you know, reading straight from the Bible. And it was just, I went to a pretty big church. So it's disheartening, you know. And I just remember sitting there thinking, like, people didn't know God's word at all. They would just put their input. And it's like, you need to listen to what God says, not what other people are saying necessarily, you know. That's the time that you need to be fed, you know.
I agree. And what I also learned outside of church is that, like, getting close to God, I mean, it has to do with you and God, and, like, what are you willing to do to, like, actually seek him, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I learned that the relationship with God, like, you, kind of like with a friend, like, you spend time with him, you pray, like, you actually, on your own part, you do something, and it's not about, like, getting to heaven on someone else's back. And what I mean by that is you don't get to heaven by following your preacher, you know, because your preacher is just a man. You know what I mean?
You're right.
And
yeah.
a lot of people, it's like we're conditioned that, you know, you're good enough if you just go to church and you just sit down, you know, don't fall asleep, don't text during the service, blah, 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 then God's happy with you and that's all there is to it. But, like, what I learned is you need to seek God, you know? Like, it's a personal thing, too. Like, you have to have your own relationship with God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like we're conditioned that all we have to do is just show up to a building and sit there for an hour and then go home every Sunday. You know, like, and the more you get close to God, the more that's not good enough for you. You don't want to just
exactly.
show up every Sunday. You want God every day.
Right.
It becomes a real thing.
Because you realize you need him, you know? You don't need
yeah,
church.
Exactly.
You don't need a church building.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, hey, Judy, you're there too, right? Hello? Okay. Well, thank you, Cerebell, for sharing. I'm letting more people on. So let's see. Just anyone feel free to say whatever you want. I'll let everyone on the line. We have like 7 or 8 callers, maybe more.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Hi,
I love you. I love you, Jesus.
Everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I wanted to say something on what you guys were talking about because I thought it was just, first of all, what Cerebell was saying was just completely right on the money, right on target, 100%. And same with you, Katie, what you were saying. You know, that when I've told you, like I told you before in RCC, that when I've called many of these churches that I've had to kind of go through to call for healing and different things, that the Lord has shown me visions of dead bones many times. Just, I'll be talking to them on the phone, the secretary, and he'll just show me the spirit of the church. I can see inside the church, and I'll usually see dead bones most of the time. But
oh, man.
Oh, yeah, that's funny you mentioned that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm always seeing this. I see that they're bored. They're bored, and they're not interested, and it's like dead bones. And the problem is that you've got the people and the pastor, and the pastor, unfortunately, is responsible for the flock. You know, my friend Chu Thomas, who went to heaven over hundreds of times, wrote an international best-selling book, and she said that Jesus told her 1% of the pastors are going to make it into the rapture, 99% will be left behind. So that goes to show you what's going on with them. The problem with the pastors is this, you know, they start preaching. Like I talked to a guy today who prayed over me, and he said, oh, you should come to our church in San Diego, Keith. I'm like, oh, okay, tell me about it. He goes, well, we have 15,000 people every Sunday. I'm like, what? Yeah. And immediately I was like, so the Lord started showing me the church, and it was like, whoa, okay, I'm definitely not going to that church. Problem is, like the Lord shows me, is that the bigger the church, the more watered down the doctrine, because you have to appeal to the people. So what they want to do is the pastor's trying to appeal to the people, not offend anyone there. So the more watered down the doctrine is, you know, the farther away from the Bible it is, the more watered down, it becomes like an Anthony Robbins seminar, feel-good motivational seminar, where everybody feels great, and they're all motivated, not about God, just motivated, about life and money, and then the church will grow. You'll have 100,000 people after a while because everybody likes it. The more hardcore the church is, you're going to offend and turn off a lot of people, you know. So the problem is the pastor wants to please the people. So he says, you know, well, if I say that, it's going to offend them, then they're not going to tithe as much, and we're not going to have as much money to expand the church, so I'm not going to say that. Like, there's a church over here that brings in $1 million a year. It's like a couple blocks from my house, and I go over there, and I've talked to the pastor straight up about the rapture and everything. He got scared. He doesn't want to talk to me anymore, but I got my chance, so... The problem is that he spends $30,000 a year on music. So what they do is most of these churches just become big entertainment concerts, just to entertain the people because they can't entertain them with the Bible or the Word or the truth. So they just entertain them with music, visual effects, and all that kind of stuff. It becomes a big, like, acting thing, you know, a big movie thing almost to go to. So that way they don't offend the people. They bring in the money. So it becomes all about the money. And then as far as the people going to the church, the problem with the people going to the church is that, you know, a lot of what both of you were saying is the people there replace the weekly church with their relationship with God. They're like, I went to church on Sunday. I don't have to worry about God the rest of the week. I'm good to go, you know. And it becomes this thing where, you know, it's a really a false thing, because in heaven I've seen many videos where you're going to get rewards in heaven to build your mansion. Not one of them mentioned church. It said read your Bible every day, pray to God, praise God, you know, bear fruit for the kingdom, ask God what you can do for him every day, or help other people by bearing fruit, which I'm a big stickler on. Those are the keys that build your mansion, not going to church. But the problem is these people just, you know, become lukewarm. And in the church that I go and get prayed over on Sunday, I wait till the whole thing's over with, and then I go, everybody's gone. And then, because usually when people are there, I can just scan them, you know, because I can see into their spirit, and I can just, oh my gosh, I see such a dryness going on there, lukewarm, boring, everything. But there's one woman in there, I told you, that got hit in the head by a golf ball. She was a lukewarm Christian in the church. She got hit in the head by a golf ball. She almost died. The second she recovered, she had all these gifts to start talking about the rapture nonstop. And she's the one that prays over me, and oh man. And I asked her last week, we had to talk about, well, why come more people in this church aren't on fire? What's going on? And she's like, Keith, they come up to me and they tell me over and over and over. They said, I know that you're close. Her name is Lee. They said, Lee, I know you're really close to God. I know that, you know, you're on fire for him. And they're like, I just don't want what you have, though, because I don't want to have persecution from the enemy or from the world. I just would rather just be in a safe place. So I respect what you're doing and where you are with God, but that's not what I want. I want to be in a safe place. In other words, they want everything of the world and a little bit of God. So they're in it. Because if you're fully in the world, you're going to have a great life. You'll have money and everything. You won't. You know, more than likely, you won't be attacked by the enemy. And that's what they're looking for, the safe place. And Lee, on the other hand, has been through hell and back like all of us. And so she, you know, poor thing, but she knows. She's like, Keith, I'd rather take the high road, the one you can't see. Like we talked about, you can't see where you're going in front of you. Only the light that you emanate from God leads your way. And you're trying to help people behind you on the path, and it looks scary if you look down, so we just got to keep going. The rapture's at the end, that narrow road the Bible talks about. You know, that's what I got to say.
Thank you, Keith. That was great.
Yeah. That really was amazing. And wow, that you actually got visions about these churches like that. It's just crazy. Wow.
I know when you said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, she does that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know she does this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was trying to let some people on, but their static is, you know, interfering. So, but yeah, y'all keep going. I like talking about this because, like, my best friends growing up all went to church with me, and we are like a tight, close group of friends. But when my church started falling away, that's when I was like, there's got to be something more out there, you know. Because I've grown up and I went to, you know, I grew up in a different church than I went to then. And so I was like, you know, I wasn't feeling it anymore, so.
Well, is Pat on the line? See if she's on.
Let's see. Pat, are you there? Hello? Pat?
I think she might be trying to talk because I can hear something in the background.
Call back,
okay.
Pat. That's your
phone. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe some people should have hang up and call back, and that might fix the static problem, because when I first called it, I heard nothing.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody's
okay.
Trying to talk, but the static is, like, getting in the way, and their voice is skipping. They're going,
Right.
Yeah.
That's what happens when I let people on. Yeah.
I know Ben has something to say about the churches, right, Ben? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they actually really started out like they are. Well, obviously they didn't start out like they are today, but I wonder if the Lord really had. I just really have some questions about it, because, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, you know, there's a mother of all harlot and abominations of the earth, and the Roman Catholic Church calls themselves the Mother Church. Now, I believe that's what the Bible verse is referring to. Now, just because I believe it don't mean it's true. But if that is true, and the Roman Catholic Church is the mother of all harlots and abominations on the earth, then what is that saying about all these other churches that they're claiming to be the mother of and stuff like that? You know, I really wonder if this is really – I know this is not how it's supposed to be, but I wonder if this is how it started, or maybe it started different and people just perverted it along the way and stuff, because I was just sitting behind some lady in church, and her child was saying amen to something the preacher was saying. And, like, the mother went to, hey, shut up, you're not allowed to, like she wasn't allowed to say amen or something. I was mad at first, but I didn't say anything. But I was mad, but I got over it, because, I mean, it's righteous anger, but it's like at the same time, like I understand I'm human too, but they don't know. It's like they don't understand what they're doing. It's like everybody's got rules. It's like a social order and not a house of worship like it's supposed to be. And, you know, like they, everybody's got just certain opinions about how things are supposed to be. And it's, I don't know. It's just so far off. See, some people, like, I was listening to the history of the Catholic Church and stuff, and they keep claiming that, you know, Jesus set it up, and, you know, I forgot what they call themselves. They, like, something about, like, when Jesus was telling Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and blah, blah, blah. And, see, they keep taking that like it means a four-walled building. And I'm like, you guys got this totally out of context. Like, I'm not. That's probably gonna be one of the questions I'm gonna ask when I go to heaven. It's like, you know, because I want to see like the history of the earth and stuff like that. But I want to know how all this really started. Like, where did this, four-walled mindset come from? Well, it probably just didn't come up from anywhere except, you know, people's imaginations. But like, did Jesus really set up a church? I really don't think so. I seriously doubt that. Or did it? Is it like it has always been? You know, like, Jesus will do something, and then people over time try to, you know, set up their own little things, you know, aside from what he's doing. But I don't know. All I know is today it's so many churches are far off from what they should be. Now there's a few good ones, but I mean, you can't expect 100% perfection in everything. But like the one I occasionally go to, mainly to be with my grandparents, there's a whole lot of truth in there, but, you know, sometimes they'll put their own little twist on it and put their opinion on something. And, you know, you got these people who always, you know, like tell my mom will have a dream that God gave her, or like some real stuff would like be happening in the house, and she goes tried to tell one of her sisters about it, and she's like, that wasn't God. And it's like a fancy mindset, I guess, that people get into. They think like you got to work for your salvation or something like that. But God never said, give me your perfect heart. He said, give me your heart and I will make it perfect. He didn't want you to make it perfect because you can't, you know, and then present it to him like, here's my perfect heart. That's just garbage to him and all our works. You know, the works that his will is the only thing that he would accept, you know. But I don't know. I really wonder about the history of how it all started, but all I know is today it's mainly off course from what it should
be. Yeah, I really think that it could be something Satan really is using, you know. And, I mean, this is his world, so, I mean, he is the prince of the air here, so, you know, I feel like the churches are not necessarily what God intended, I mean, for sure. You know. Anyone else want to share? You can keep sharing. You're doing good, so.
Well, I can share a little bit on it. I know one thing's for sure. Well, first off, good to hear from everybody again. I've been working so much. It's been ridiculous. But
nice to hear you, Chris.
One thing I learned, and this was, you know, and this is what I tell people all the time when I'm witnessing to them, they ask me, they're like, why don't you belong to a church? Like, you go to church once in a while. You know, I'll pop up at this church or that church or wherever, just wherever God leads. But they ask me, they're like, you know, you're not a real Christian. You don't go to church. And for the first year of my rededication to the Lord, I spent that whole year in solitude with Christ. I didn't go to a church. Christ supernaturally brought me back to him on his own. There wasn't a witnessing. There wasn't anything that happened. It was, he just started showing me things and bringing me back to him. And I spent that whole first year just in study and in the Word and in prayer and just me and him, you know. And until I came to the, I tell people all the time, like, if I were alone on this world and there was no one else walking this planet and I'm here, I'm good, and I'm happy, and I'm content because I'm still walking with Christ. He's here with me no matter what. And you get closer to him reaching out for him outside of the church than you do in the church. The church lacks any real connection to the Holy Spirit pretty much everywhere you go. It's just gotten ridiculous. So, and I really don't think that the church is meant to be what it is. I don't think, you know, anything that it's become is not what it was intended to be by Christ. You know, and he's gonna change all that. I'm not sure if it's going to be in the tribulation or it's going to be before the tribulation or how things are going to happen. But
that'll
he's going to rise
Chris.
Up his own church.
That'll be in the 1,000-year millennium reign, Chris. It'll be after when Jesus comes to earth.
Yeah. That's when he's going to rise up a proper church and show people how things are supposed to be.
Yeah.
I felt closer without a church than I did with.
Absolutely. Can you see something?
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me? Okay. This is
Carolyn.
Hi. The true church is our body, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when Christ was here, he wanted us to take fellowship with each other, not in a building, anywhere, just two people, three people. That's it. Makes a church. And so our physical bodies and even our glorified bodies will be the church, the body of Christ. You know?
Amen.
And it reminds me of like Acts, when like Pentecost, like it was like Acts, I was just looking up now, like Acts 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is their Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room. And the upper room represents really heaven, where they were staying. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about. That's church. You know, we don't have to go to some, you know, huge building or anything. We're having church right now, actually.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
And, I mean, it blows my mind how a lot of people that I meet that go to church, and like I ran into a guy where, you know, we're having conversations, and he's got some things he's on the ball, some things he's way off, you know, but he's eager, and he wanted to, you know, he knows, he sees the signs of the times, but he says, well, you know, they taught me at church that we're in the millennia, the thousand-year reign of peace right now, and that it's coming to an end, and that's why things are getting crazy. And
yeah,
I said, what over the past 1,000 years have you or your pastor can point me out to anywhere where there was actual God-given peace on earth? You know,
yeah,
I mean,
I used to get that mistaken. Like, that'll be clear. Back in April, when the first blood moon happened, I remember I was filled by the Holy Spirit back in, like, 1999. I had a huge revival, born-again experience. And ever since then, I remember the Holy Spirit told me, look out for that blood moon back in 99. So when I saw in April the first blood moon, I was like, that's it. And I was always like, is it post-trib? Is it mid-trib? Is it pre-trib, the rapture? And I'm like, I asked him directly, and I was like, I need to know. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, Lord. Your word says one thing and not two things. It's like, what is it? Is it pre-trib? He told me. It's clear as a bell. It's pre-trib rapture. And right now, we're coming to, like, the end of the 6,000 years from creation, and the 7,000 years will be the kingdom of Christ. It's an actual literal kingdom. He's going to come.
Yeah.
He's coming. He's going to rapture us before the seven-year tribulation. He's going to come physically down and set his foot on the Mount of Olives after the seven-year tribulation. And that's when he will begin the 1,000-year kingdom. So it's like,
yeah,
actually 7,000 years is to like 7 days, you know?
Yes, exactly.
I had an assistant pastor call me last night. You know, she's an assistant pastor in a church. She calls me up, and she's been debating whether she wants to leave this church or not, and, you know,
wow. Yeah, there's a lot of confusion in churches, like, about post-trib, pre-trib, mid-trib kind of raptures, and are we living in the 1,000 years of peace now? And it's like people say, oh, the last 2,000 years has been the years of peace, and absolutely not.
looking at World War One, World War Two, and all the other wars before. And
when a lot Christ of the churches comes, replace that. You know, a lot of the churches replace the doctrine in the Bible that they call replacement theology. They took Israel out and they put the church in place of Israel. So sometimes they think all these crazy things about we're in this period, we're in that period, and because they're replacing things in the Bible. You know, the truth is always rotating in the churches. I mean, every time I call a church for prayer, they're like, well, Keith, we don't believe in that. You need to call the Assemblies of God because they believe a little bit more of that. Don't call the Pentecostals, though, because they don't believe in that. You know, there's like about 50, there's probably hundreds. I mean, just every time we look up a new church, they're like, we don't believe this, we believe that. Go to this one if you believe that. Go to the Baptist. If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit so much, then go to the Baptist. They lean less on the Holy Spirit. And Paul warned in the Bible against factions. Factions is a sin. He said, he warned against the church dividing into factions. He said that there's one truth, the Bible. The church treats the truth like it's a rotating target all the time. It depends on what you want to believe, what you don't want to believe. And they don't believe in the end times, and they don't believe in the rapture by and large. That's the sad part. That scares people. They don't want to talk. It's funny, you can find, if you call a million churches, they're going to say, we believe in the Bible, we love the Bible, blah, blah, blah. And then if you go, well, how come you don't preach on the book of Revelation? And they never do. You know, that's the sad part.
I know it is.
You know? So they don't really preach on Revelation, but they'll preach on, pretty much the churches will preach on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Old Testament. They don't cover any of the stuff that Paul preached, and especially not Revelation. And that's really what they should be preaching, what Paul taught. Obedience, repentance, and revelation, which is end time stuff, which is so exciting, you know.
Right. I like eschatology, which is the study of end times. And the thing is not only to wake up unbelievers, but it's also good to wake up other believers so they can wake up other people. You know?
I think this is a really good start to a discussion today. So good job with that.
I didn't hear anything anybody said, but I just say I have to agree, and I'm just glad that God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Because even while we're in the middle of this wilderness, I guess you say, or whatever you want to describe it as, where like you can't hardly go anywhere and hear the truth. It's like the only place you can go to is to God. So like to answer a question that was asked earlier, what do you think churches should do to, you know, well, one thing that God's been pleading with many people and nations before is repent, obviously. But, you know, a church that, that's the question I was going to answer. Like, what would be a sign of a good church is one that points you to God. You know, doesn't it point you to their ego or, they ate a bowl of fish today. And, you know, just tell, like, fishing stories and stuff, like, spend 30 minutes on that. Maybe, you know, not talking about them or just, God promises you a new car if you put $300 inside here. Blah, 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 or buy this new book, we got it for sale, and buy my album, all that stuff, but it points you to God and advances your personal relationship with God, like edifying you with knowledge, with wisdom, with, you know, building each other up and stuff like that, you know, love, helping you grow in love, that's the kind of stuff, and that's a really big indication of the times that we're in, because we're in the midst of all this kind of stuff, and you know, that's why we're all here right now, because as you see the day approaching, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but what are we doing? Now, there's lots of people who mistake that verse, and I keep hearing it quoted all the time. They're like, the Bible says, mistake not assembling yourselves together. I'm like, well, guess what I'm doing? Like, you don't know what I'm doing. Like, just because I'm not going to a four-wall building doesn't mean I'm forsaking the assembling of myself together, you know, but I'm doing it out of my, you know, I'm just glad that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's still providing ways for people. It's not like, you know, there's no hope, you know, because, you know, all these, that we got so much untruth out there, you know, God's still, you know, pulling people through, you know, because people, it's like nowadays, especially people need God more than anything, and it's like the darkness is just spreading all over this world, but we all see it, and we all know. Today, I'm going to expose myself a little bit. You know, like I think a couple of hours ago, I asked God. I said, help me to see the things that I don't see and understand. And I think what I heard him say was more like, what do you not see and what do you not understand? And the way it came across was more like, messengers been clear already, you know? Like, you know, God's been sending many people all over YouTube and all over the world, basically, but saying the same things for many times, and it's got to the point now where people's hearts are getting so hard. I don't know how much further it's going to go, but it's just got to the point where there's going to be nothing else that can be done except the rapture, you know, and wrath, because, you know, once people's hearts get to the point where they don't even want to listen to the truth anymore, then, you know, what else do you think God's going to do? Is he going to let everybody just kill themselves and die and let the whole world go to waste? No. So, you know, if you think so, it's just signs of the times that we're in right now, all this stuff that we're seeing. With these churches and everything.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I've said it all, and it's like, what else to say? Well, but then again, God likes to reiterate things, so say it over and over and over again to get it through people's thick skulls.
But thankfully, God's merciful enough to where he would do stuff like that, because it takes a day. I guess even with, you know, each one of us individually, and myself included, like, I believe very strongly that God had to say some of the same things to me over and over again before I finally got something from my tech school, you know.
Me too. Still to this day.
That's the, you know, some of the problems with the churches today is even people that are speaking the truth of the Bible, some people lean on 100% grace, that you just do whatever you want to do and grace covers you. And other people lean on the law. Well, we're under the law. We've got to follow these rules and you got to do, you know. And to be honest with you, it's a mixture of both. You know, the Lord wants you to be obedient. But at the same time, if you're doing the best you can and you're trying and your heart is looking towards God and your eyes are looking at him, then wherever you fail, that's where grace picks you up and covers you. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. You know, or grace abounds, and that's how, basically, the more sin, the more grace covers you. And so that's why I think a lot of the churches, you know, they think, well, we got to be perfect, so we'll just forget it. We're not going to even try. And the people that really are, you know, it's not like that at all. God never said to be perfect. Bible never once says to be, you know, you got to be perfect. Even in the Revelation, God says to be an overcomer. He mentioned 6 out of 7 churches. I told the churches straight up when I talked to that pastor, I said, 9 out of 10 churches going straight to hell. He just was like, what? Where is he? Wait a minute, this is not even biblical. Where are you getting this? I said, look in Revelation 1-3. It talks about the 7 churches. It says these churches are headed down the path that leads right into hell unless they change their ways. It's very simple. It talks about repentance. You know, the key is the churches don't want to line up, but they can line up tomorrow if they really wanted to. The key is just really leaning on God, asking him for help. He's not going to let you go astray if you're asking him for help and you're doing the best you can. In every one of those churches, God talks about being an overcomer. Jesus does, being an overcomer. And the Lord always shows me the vision over and over. An overcomer is your car is on the road, and then, you know, you fall into sin, your car veers off the road, you take the steering wheel, he says, turn it right back on the road and keep going forward and don't look back. Don't focus on the sin. Don't focus on what happened. Just get back on the road as soon as you can. That's what it's about. You know, it's like we walk as close as we can to God. We screw up. Then we get back on track. We screw up again, we get back on track. An overcomer continually gets back on track and they never give up. That's the secret. That's the key. He's looking, the bride is overcomer. Well, boy, are they. They can overcome anything, you know. And that's the key. Keep overcoming, keep overcoming. I would love for all the churches to get in, but never, you know. Anyways, go ahead.
There's this huge debate going on Facebook about how people that are saved are going to be left behind in the rapture, and that's a huge lie. Because if you're saved,
people that are well,
like born again Christians, saved people, believers, if you're saved,
yeah.
The blood has cleansed you once and for all. And of course, it's a continual walk with him in our relationship down the
road. That doctrine is it's called once saved, always saved. I don't believe in the, personally, I do not believe once saved, always saved. I don't believe that once you're, in the Revelation, God talks about that if you don't do this, you know, so you don't want to do this. In other words, he talks about how the name can be removed from the book. You know, there's verses referring to the fact that God would not remove your name from the book. In other words, your name can be removed from the book. It's not very easy to get it done, yeah, but you would have to, you know, there's a verse that says you're not, if you're living in sin, you're not covered under the blood. Basically, the only way you're not going to enter the rapture is if you completely told God to screw off, and you'd have to walk away 100% and say,
right,
screw you, I don't want, you know what I mean? It has to be,
like those
that whole thing
singers
where,
that turn into huge mainstream celebrities.
Like Whitney Houston, some of them.
Yeah, something like that, you're saying?
It really would depend, like with Whitney Houston, for instance, the Lord always tells me it would depend on, you know, at the very last moment. I mean, Elvis was all about God. He's all about the gospel.
Oh, yeah.
He played music, right? And Elvis was on fire, but he also got into drugs real heavily and went down a very dark path, very dark, sleeping around the whole thing. Then all of a sudden, he changed his ways at the very last moment before he died. He told his bodyguard, and he's like, hold my hand and just pray with me. And he repented, and that's it, you know.
Right.
The Lord told me the other day, he said, if a sinner can say, please forgive me, Lord, let me get in the rapture at the last minute and get in, then certainly my people can do the same. That's why you just repent every day. That's all.
I had
cover
a rapture dream.
In the blood.
I had two rapture
there.
Dreams. Well, my second rapture dream, I had a sense of being left behind. It was like a huge sense of dread. And I got caught off guard, you know. It was like, boom, like a huge thunderbolt, and like everyone disappeared, and I was still left behind, and I was so scared. But then the dream changed, and it was like I was taken up. I was still taken up because I don't know why he made me feel that sense, but maybe to turn the light back on. I have to find my notes, but I saw a couple of my friends in the dream too. Like one, she was like lukewarm and she was left behind and she got stunned and shocked after it happened. And another one was completely devoured by nuclear fire. I don't understand what that means. Let's see. Well, rapture dream number one. Are you guys still there?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, rapture dream number one was spring of 2007. I was sleeping in my dream, and the horn blew. I started going up. I was being changed. I felt the love, the warmth, the golden light of Jesus. I can sense all the other people around me going up with him. I woke up thinking it was completely real. I woke up like, you know, like if it was like, you know, you wake up from a nightmare or a vivid dream and you're like, whoa. And I was disappointed that it wasn't happening, you know, that I was still here. And then my rapture dream number two was fall of 2012. Up here in my notes I say, the horn blew. I knew it was the rapture. I was going in one room, going through a door into a golden lit up kitchen. My mom's sitting at the table. We looked at each other in surprise and utter joy and happiness as we started going up. But, like, at the same time, like, during the horn, I felt caught off guard and a sense of being left behind. I saw visions in my dream of my friend, my one male friend, he being consumed by a nuclear fire, and my female friend, she being shocked with surprise and revelation. Those are my two rapture dreams.
Why do you think, why do you think, Jonathan, you were feeling like you're going to be left behind? What did you get? What did you learn from all that?
Like in my dream, I remember, like, at the time, I felt like, at the time, I was, like, you know, drinking every day, smoking cigarettes, looking at porn every day, and I felt like I wasn't walking the narrow path, so I got caught off guard when it happened. So I'm still asking the question, do Christians get left behind? Or Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia is the only faithful church, and that's the only church that gets raptured.
Yep,
the rest of the churches are left behind. But the rest of the churches, does it refer to them being just the rest of mankind, or and they're not saved yet, or are they saved? And
No. When John wrote the book Revelation, he's talking to Christians in there, and I'm talking to non-Christians. Revelation 1 through 3, when it mentions the seven churches, it's talking to the church, to Christians, to the believers.
Okay.
And it separates each church. It lists what their sin was and why they were not entering the kingdom for that sin. Bottom line is they it's very clear, and it talks about being an overcomer, too. In other words, just and what does it say? It didn't say don't do that sin. It says repent and overcome, be an overcomer. Repent, be an overcomer. In other words,
right.
keep trying,
away.
Right? Yep. Repent to turn away. Exactly. But you're never going to be, you know, when people say, oh, I was delivered from that, I don't do that anymore, I'm good to go. I'm like, really? Okay. Because you know what? There's only like five or six different, I don't know, there's probably six or seven sins mentioned at the very last verse. You can just put your hand on seven of them and everyone's doing one of them. So bottom line is, you're not going to be perfect, but just do the best that you can, and that's where grace covers you. But the church,
yeah,
and those churches, we're not interested in that, though. They're just interested in doing, they're lukewarm. Most of the churches are
right.
not going to be left behind because they're lukewarm. They don't want any part of anything. They just want to just keep doing what they're doing, you know.
You know, the Lord told me to meditate on Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar of my God. Right there. He who overcomes. But I always thought we overcame by faith only. But then again,
faith is that overcoming is talking about what your faith is trusting on God to help you. Overcoming is what you're doing on your part. That's what you're doing, what you do. And what do you do? There's a lot of free will you have. What you do is you turn away, you repent, you say, I'm sorry, get back on the road and start praising God. You know? A lot of people, I have people that email me, a lot of guys email me, and they're going through troubles and stuff. And they said, you know, the second they fall into sin, they stop reading their Bible and they stop talking to God because they think he's mad at them, you know? And I'm like, I tell them the opposite. I said, If you find something wrong, open your Bible and start reading it. Then you'll feel better. They're like, but then I feel convicted. I'm like, even more better. That's good. Just read it and you'll feel better. Get back on track with God. The faster, the better, you know?
Yeah, my dad always said, no matter how dark your valley is, no matter like the worst sins you're doing, always open the Bible and at least read one verse a day, he said. And I did, and it brought me back.
Oh, yeah. Even if I'm having a bad day where I just feel like I'm being like, you know, I get angry sometimes because I don't have a problem with anger, but I get upset because I have a really powerful gift of discernment. I can see into people's spirits and I can see what's going on with people that call me and talk to me, or, you know, it's in the world even, just people that I see at the store. Gets me crazy, you know.
Right.
But, you know, like, I want to help them, but I just feel overwhelmed and I just see the selfishness and the darkness and the coldness today, you know. But if I fall into something, I open my Bible and start reading, and it just changes. I guess I'm so sensitive to the spiritual realm, and I tell people, if you saw the spiritual realm 24 hours a day, like I can see it. Most people can sense it. Not everybody, but some. Then you really, your Bible is like putting on the armor all the time. You want to put that armor on, you know. And you've come a long way, Jonathan. So, you know, I applaud you for that. You've come a long way, and that's what it's about. But yeah, don't be fooled. Not everybody's just going to say the sinner's prayer and get in. You know, they're going to have to make a little bit of effort, you know. The bottom line is there's a test, you know. The test is the rapture. If you don't pass the test, then you get to stay behind for the second test, and that's the tribulation, you know. Because Jesus doesn't have to want to rapture you. He doesn't have to. He always tells me that. Everyone thinks, you know, oh, God's really trying to get me in the rapture. The Lord offers it to anyone that wants it. Whoever doesn't want it, it's very easy. He just leaves them here on earth, you know. I had a guy tell me the other day, well, Keith, I don't want to be raptured. I want to stay behind, because the people left behind were like Noah. They were the safe ones. As a Christian, I was like, okay, well, if you think being left behind is the answer, then you go ahead and stay behind in tribulation. Good luck. You know? I'm like, no, I don't want to be left behind. So we have to make effort on our part. And that's where just being an overcomer, which everybody in RCC is a major overcomer. That's for sure. Did you have any other dreams, Jonathan, after those about the rapture? But those are the main ones. I guess not there. Jonathan, I think he's gone. But yeah, that's the key. You know, the key is just to be an overcomer. And you don't have to go to church. It's all about a relationship, not about church. God never said in the Bible. It's interesting, the Bible never really talks about churches because there was no churches back in the early days. It was all about just fellowship in the home. They would get together in the home and fellowship. It was never about, it didn't have four-wall buildings back then. That's why you don't see anything in the Bible talking about, you know, going to church and all this kind of stuff.
Hi, guys. It's Joe.
Hi, Joe.
How's everyone doing?
How are you?
Good. Working, catching the last few minutes of the show.
Yeah.
I think there's dead air, and I was like, oh, hey. Who's on the line? Mama Pat? I thought I was
yeah.
voice to you.
How are you?
Doing good. Doing good.
Okay.
How are you guys doing? How's the show tonight?
Good. We're talking about church.
Oh.
Yeah. My main thing would be, why aren't they preaching about the rapture, you know, and really informing people, you know, what's happening and the time we're in, and to be looking for that. If they're not preaching about the rapture, then gee whiz, you know.
Well,
my
yeah,
goodness.
With,
yeah, yeah, got a lot
quote,
of people
unquote,
in ignorance.
Today, you know,
yeah,
not,
and when the rapture happens, all those
that.
People are going to be angry at the pastors for not having said anything about the rapture, and they're left behind.
Well, those
yeah.
people have no one to be angry at but themselves. So.
Yeah, but it should be preached. It really should.
Well,
yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, no, no. What's up, Keith?
Some people have just had visions where, like, they were trying to kill their pastor. I mean, it sounds funny, but it's true. They're choking him and pulling his hair and saying, you didn't tell us about the rapture. You know, what's wrong with you? But, like, it's not his job. I mean, it is his job, but... It's also their job to,
yeah, that's
you know.
Exactly. It's not his job. It's, you know, written in the Bible, like, this, you go to the Lord. It's between you and him.
Exactly.
You don't rely on another man's word.
Mm.
So that's, you know, that's, they may want to kill their pastors, but they should just want to kill themselves at that point. They don't want to kill anyone. It's just, you know, no one is blamed but yourself, you know.
Yep.
So every man stands before the Lord, and they're not going to say, oh, it's his fault. You know, he's not going to be there to point at, and nor is it his fault. It's your fault for following him, not the Lord.
Mm. Yeah, that pastor, I think that also reflects, like you just brought up, to you know, you brought to the surface, that reflects that they're expecting their pastor to get them into heaven. They're expecting to, you know, sit there and just, it's like, I don't know if it's the television that's done it or what. It's like everybody wants everything to be like, you know, just sit and watch, and you know, then, you know, like the you sit and watch a movie. They think you sit in church and you watch, and you, oh no, you know, and then like
hey, you just show up to get your attendance, and that's it. And if you're there and you follow the, you know, the rules that are set out, and you know, then that's
yeah,
it. So that's
judge
that's
everybody
not really
for.
No, that's not at all what it's about.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree. You should, on the Lord yourself. But I'm just saying, anybody who goes to church, you know, why aren't the pastors preaching about the rapture period? It just should be something they should be doing, that should be aware of. You
well,
know,
I
think
yeah,
it,
I asked
you,
that pastor over
yeah.
here, that church over here that I was going to.
Yeah.
I had an appointment with him, and a lot of people were kind of, you can tell, didn't want to talk to him. He's a big wig, but I just, you know, he's like, I want to know more about you. So I said, okay, I'll tell you about me. And I mentioned the rapture. And then he had told me, well, the reason why I don't talk about this church, because I think it would offend a lot of people here. So we just.
But you can't worry about offending people. You've got to tell them the truth. And that's where the problem comes in, because then people aren't going to come. And then you don't have money either. I mean, it's like a snowball
but
effect,
no,
like a domino
you
effect.
Said it, Pat. But you said it, too. I mean, a lot of churches today, which is why the Lord, refers to them as whores, is because it's a business. And it's bad business.
It's sad. It's very, very sad. The only good experience.
I mean, it's all business.
Okay, the only time I went to an Episcopal church down south, and she said, make sure you go to the bathroom because it's going to be long. It was 2 hours long. You know why it was 2 hours long? Because the Holy Spirit was through the whole place, and people would talk out and preach out, and in the congregation there were no rules. It was like the Holy Spirit led the whole thing. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. It was over 2 hours long, and now I understood why she said visit the Johnny quickly, because you're going to be there a while. I didn't know what a while meant, because I never went to a church service in my life that was 2 hours long, and it's because everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I mean filled with the Holy Spirit, to the point that you were in heaven. Because all these people wanted God so desperately, and you felt it. They talked out, not just the preacher, not just the one up there services, but everybody in the congregation, hundreds of people. This church was huge, hundreds and hundreds of people speaking, everybody speaking out. When the Holy Spirit, I even spoke out. And when the Holy Spirit wants you to speak, he pushes, he puts his pressure on your throat, and you have to talk. He pushes it right out of you. Well, he doesn't care how shy you are, you know. But, I couldn't believe it, but it was wonderful because people were alive. They were alive in the Holy Spirit. And that's the way all the churches should be. I mean, if you want to go to church, you know. If you don't go to church, you know, you still have a relationship with Jesus, you know. Come on, he's our Lord and Savior, you know. Just ask him, where do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be with? What do you want me to do? And if you ask that from your heart, you know you're going to get an answer. The Holy Spirit's going to get you good. And you're going to work for the Lord, in church or out of church or both or whatever. You just got to do what God wants you to do. You got to ask him. You got to ask him from your heart. Make sure it's not lip service. God doesn't deal in lip service. He deals in heart service. Okay?
Yeah,
make sure you're sincere.
Church is not your salvation. Like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news to anyone who thinks, you know, showing up on Sunday is going to be enough. But, I'm not the judge. But that being said, it's all about...
I have nothing against, you know, people congregating together. I believe in Eucharist. I love Mass and everything. But I have to tell you, even in my own church, I see the people, and they're like, it's like there's a deadness there. And it's like, compared to that church I went to down south with my cousins, where everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit, these people are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're just there. They're just there. Maybe they're sincere. Maybe they're loving. Maybe they're going to be saved. I can't judge. But they're just there. And that's the sadness. They're just there. They're just there. And a lot of people think, oh, I go to church on Sunday, I've done what I'm supposed to do, and then they go right back into the world, and they go right back into gossiping, and they don't think that they're doing bad because they're not convicted by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit really isn't in them full time to do a work in them. And they think because they go to church on Sunday, oh, well, I did my thing. No, you didn't. God is not just the Sunday one. He's the every day, every moment one.
See,
and that's what's lacking.
An experience class to be in a church where, again, people spoke out as a real
service.
Oh,
you have
Holy
no
Spirit
idea.
Sure. So, I mean, if you want to take the typical church, let's, you know, take
it's
Roman Catholicism.
It's not there.
Well, not only is it not there, but you walk into a building full of engraving images, which, number one, written, you know, I don't have to bring up the scriptures, we all know. And then you do a bunch of pagan rituals, basically. You're supposed to call someone father, which says in the Bible, no, never to do that. And then, you know, when they're done passing around their collection plates, this and that, it is now, quote-unquote, dangerous to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Only
I know, that doesn't
church,
make sense at all. It doesn't make sense at all. It really doesn't. If you don't have a personal relationship with him, how? You know, I mean,
right.
Where are you going with this?
It doesn't make sense if you think that church isn't, you know, BS, for lack of a better word, but it makes perfect sense. It's almost, you know, gratifying, you know. It's like, it's about time. It's become so transparent that anyone who's awake can finally get away from this.
Ask the Holy Spirit into your heart, and then take it from there. What He tells you to do, where He wants you to be, how you add to the building up of the kingdom of God. What's your part? And everybody here's got a mission. If you're breathing, there's a reason. God's got you here for something. You got to ask the Holy Spirit what, and then you got to do it. Simple. But how many ask? They're afraid to ask. I don't want to give up my comfort zone. I don't want people thinking I'm weird. You know, I don't want to be a Jesus freak. You know, I don't want to have to give up this or go there or do that. So they're scared. So they stay in this nice little comfort zone. And because everybody else is in this little bubble with them and they think everything's okay, it's a false sense of security.
Yep.
of security.
Just because
exactly there's
a large
what it
of
is.
People.
Because it kind of feels good, and you're not really a bad person, and you believe in Jesus, but you're not doing anything. You're not going anywhere. You're not really eating, sleeping, and drinking Him. You know, there's the problem. there's the problem. You know about him and you believe in him, but, you know, he's not your personal friend. You don't have a really personal relationship. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit in your heart. So where are you? Where are you? You're kind of like, kind of dead, you know?
Those are the ones past that are going to be left behind.
Well, they'll wake up. A few fireballs, they'll wake up. They'll be saved. But it's because they're going to have to be woken up a bit. They're going to have to be woken up. God will do it. Mm-hmm. He's very merciful. Mercy is the highest of his works. He will get them. He will get them. And they'll finally say, no, I know.
Yeah.
No, please, God, save me. Yeah, he'll save you. But it didn't have to be that way. You could have gone with the others.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You could have gone with the others. You could have.
Katie, should I end it?
And you should have. And you would have. But you didn't.
I can tell, if you don't even discern at all and you just talk to church people that I've been going to, I've been, you know, talking to lately about healing, it's like you don't have to discern anything. Because one thing I notice that's common with all of them that I've talked to is they constantly mention their church and their pastor. Well, my pastor says this, and my church does this, and my pastor said that, and the church, they never mention God or Jesus ever. It's constantly, my pastor said this, my pastor's doing this, my pastor's doing that, and our church is doing this. I'm like, what about God? Well, yeah, see, my pastor said, it's like, oh, boy, it's always bad.
Yeah, no, you've
got
to listen to the Holy Spirit within you. You've got to have that relationship with God, that every day, every moment, it's like you're in tune with the Holy Spirit. And if he says turn left, you go left. You don't go right. And he says right, you don't go left. You do what he says. Then you have peace. Then you have security. Then you have salvation, you know, when you have that relationship with God. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. My Father's house has many rooms. I leave you the Holy Spirit. He does only what the Father says and wants. And that's our consoler, our comforter, our teacher, our everything. If you don't have the Holy Spirit within you, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. You've got to. Oh, you ain't gonna make it. I'm sorry. No. You gotta pray to the Holy Spirit. You've gotta ask the Paraclete, the Comforter, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, into your heart so he can guide you day by day what Jesus wants you to do. You've gotta have that relationship. You know? You really do. Amen.
On that note, we're gonna end it tonight. Yeah. Starving, eating night.
love you all.
And we'll pick up tomorrow night if we are still here.
Okay.
In there, yes. Love you all.
Love you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.